Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yeah, it is. This is me and all my homies love native manu, and this week, Etiwi, we are talking about the Taranui. And this is the call of the Taranui. And here to talk with me, as always, about the Taranui, the Caspian tern, is my homie, Pete Tounder.
I couldn't think of anything else to say today.
That's good. Maureen, good to be back.
Good to have you here, Pete. And sorry we were a bit sick last week, so we had to miss out the segment. But we're back this week, and I think we're stronger than ever.
I hope so.
So, Pete, tell us about the Taranui, the Caspian tern. What is the classification of this precious, precious manu?
Yeah, the Taranui, it's a native. The classification is threatened or nationally vulnerable.
Yep.
But they're all around the globe. Like, they're a few continents are not on, but mostly they're everywhere. Mm. So, you know, around the world there's about 50,000 breeding pairs, which sounds a lot. But when you spread it across different continents and countries, you know, it's they're sort of common but uncommon.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that many in Aotearoa.
There's about, like, 1,300 breeding pairs here, so, yeah, found all around the globe, and they're all the same species.
Yeah, genetically they're all the same. There's no subspecies, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But then they've got different behaviours, like in Africa and Australia and Aotearoa, they're resident birds, so they don't migrate. But in other continents, they have really long migrations. So I kind of, you think, how does that happen? You know, interesting.
And if someone is listening and knows, please text in, because that's a bit above our pay grade. But yeah, we just wanted to also talk about tangata whenua, Māori relationship to Taranui, and just break down the name Taranui. So Tara is the ingoa, or the Māori kupu Māori for tern, and then nui obviously means big, so Taranui, big tern, and that is literally
pretty simple.
It's simple, it's spot on, because this is the biggest tern
in the world. Yeah.
In the world, biggest tern in the world. And then we also in Aotearoa we have the Tara Iti, which is the fairy tern,
which is small. Iti is small,
so
it's the smallest tern in the world, I think.
Awesome. And we got, just from a little bit of research, found that the eggs were sometimes used for kai back in the day. And colonizers also used them for eating, and the eggs are found on the foreshore. But we couldn't really, also Pete did some digging trying to find some whakatauke, but we've got more of a kind of general one for this bird. It's he kare moana he manu tiri kohu, and it means a ripple in the sea, a diving bird. And what do you think? What do you think that's talking about there, Pete?
From what I've read about it, it sort of refers to the ability of the tūpuna to tell what kind of fish is under the water by sort of interpreting the ripples on the surface. So it's part of that deep sort of knowledge of Te Taiao and Mataranga Māori. So you know, that's cool about reading the environment.
And something we're just talking about with the show, we really want, like, the show, we want to be able to hear birds in our backyard and recognise them. Like, as we do the show, we're trying to develop our connection with Te Taiao as well. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's special to hear Pūrākau Māori about these precious manu. And we were also just, I was just saying to Pete, like, if you see Taranui circling above the water, you know that that's where the kahawai are, because...
Yeah.
But they don't eat kahawai.
No, kahawai are far too big for them.
Yeah.
But the kahawai are chasing the smaller fish, the sprats and the smelt.
Yeah.
Which is what the Taranui's after.
Yeah. So keep that in mind for your fishing bros this summer. I don't know.
And just a note on the name, the Caspian tern.
Yeah.
It was this Prussian zoologist
oh.
that saw them in the Caspian Sea in 1770.
Wow.
And then named them the Caspian tern.
Wow.
Unaware that they were freaking everywhere.
Wow. That's yeah. actually, that's really special. Thanks
yeah.
for that, Pete. I'm so glad to know that. And so, yeah, why did you pick this bird this week, Pete?
Yeah, well, this is like a confession, really. about 3 weeks ago, I was fishing on the edge of the dunes on the Waikato Awa near the river mouth. Very strong westerly blow. And I'm there, standing there, and I look up, and there's this taranui about sort of 3 or 4 metres above my head, just hovering stationary and just checking me out. And it had its wings beautifully spread and the colours in them
yeah.
and this crimson red bill. And I was smitten. I fell in love with the taranui. I'd seen it there a lot, but that close encounter just did it for me. So I've been obsessed with the taranui ever since.
That's
so
special, bro.
I've been drawing it, and
yeah,
I'm
going to
paint it, and yeah. I'm just, yeah. So it's occupies my thoughts.
Oh, that's freaking awesome, mate. That's freaking awesome. When I was, like, reading your notes and it said I was smitten, I, like, pissed my pants. I was like, this is so funny, but so special. So, yeah, Pete, how would you describe this bird? You've mentioned long, big wingspan, red bill.
Oh, yeah.
Red bill.
These are such smart dresses, eh? So I think the Three Musketeers crossed with Zorro. And I think high fashion, I think
yeah.
Milan, I think Paris,
yeah.
I think New York.
It's giving high fashion,
you know,
yeah.
Because they've got this beautiful white underbelly and the silvery top plumage. And their white wings underneath, they go into silver, and then the tips of the wings are these beautiful black feathers that
wow.
kind of streak back into
yeah.
the wings.
Yep.
They're just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they've got these smart black boots on. You know,
okay,
you think these
chic.
Black leather boots. And they've got this white head, but they've got this black mask. That's why I mentioned Zorro, because it sweeps back over their head. You know, like a racing helmet.
Yeah,
you know, those lycra-clad guys with 20K-plus bikes, and they wear those those super-duper swept-back helmets.
I know.
It looks like that.
I feel like when I lived in Wellington, there were so many of those bros around that just rock up to the cafe on a Saturday. It's so obnoxious.
Yeah. But this bird's not obnoxious.
No, this bird is awesome.
And then the crowning glory is this crimson large bill. It's
yeah.
It just stands out. It's,
yeah.
And then it's bright crimson, and then at the very tip of the beak, it turns into this darker red.
Yeah.
So the very sharp looking
yeah,
manu,
very,
eh?
Very sharp. And I think that's our fashion inspo for the summer,
tis,
eh?
Tis.
And so, yeah, we've mentioned these are the biggest tern that we have in Aotearoa, or in the world, sorry.
Yeah.
So, what kind of size are we talking here, Pete?
The wingspan, it's about 1 metre.
Yeah.
It's about similar to.
That's pretty big,
it's
eh?
Pretty big.
Yeah.
It's similar to those black-backed gulls that you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're about 50, 60 centimetres long. They can weigh up to 700 grams.
Yeah.
And their lifespan's about 12 years.
When you say long, is that from their head to their tail?
Yeah, from the bill to their tail.
Yeah.
And their tails are, for terns, they've got a fairly small tail.
Why is that? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's still a very cute tail.
Yeah.
And they got
the,
these
sincerity in your voice when you said that was
it
so
is,
special.
It is, and they, yeah. their tail's got this kind of little curve in them,
yeah.
and the edge tail's sort of a long, and then it sort of sweeps in. It's
wow.
beautiful curves on the
yeah.
bird.
Yeah, well, I really want to come down to Waikato Awa with you and see.
Watch them feeding.
Yeah,
yes.
See this bird.
Yes.
And so, yeah, where do they live? They kind of spread all around the country, and as you say, around the world. But in Aotearoa, where would you be able to find them?
Coastal areas,
yeah.
Rivers, estuaries, inland lakes. There's some in the braided rivers.
There is some in the braided rivers. Shout out my favourite ecosystem.
Yep. And as you know, there's about 1,300, 1,400 breeding pairs in Aotearoa.
Yeah.
I see them all the time at Port Waikato fishing.
Yep.
And they feed on small surface fish like yellow-eyed mullet, piper, smelt.
Yeah.
Smelt's like little fish like sprats. They're not the same as sprats, but they feed on those. And they can also feed on some crickets or marine worms when they're not catching fish.
And you said they've got like... you're just talking about the kind of hunting methods. You want to talk me through that?
It's amazing. It's mesmerising. And, you know, I watch them down in Moraitai Bay there, and they go downwind, and so they fly up into the wind, and then they can just really control, and they can hover, they can be stationary, and then they just spy out for these fish. And then as soon as they see them, they just go into this massive dive bomb. And they fold in their wings, and they're like this missile, and they just spear like into the water and catch their fish, and they completely submerge themselves.
So they could be up to about 15 metres above the water, which is bloody high.
Yeah, they've got good
and
eyesight.
Dive right in.
They hit the water like just they're cranking it.
What speed are they hitting the water at, eh?
It's fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they get their fish, and then they get back flying, and they often eat the fish while they're flying. Mm. But then you see these bloomin' blackback gulls, they're hanging around.
And do they
and
take...
And soon they swoop down on the taranui, and they try and scare the taranui to drop the fish.
Blackback gulls stay out of the way.
And sometimes they do get a fright and they drop the fish, and then the blackback gulls swoop down and steal a lazy meal.
Oh my god, they're so lazy. Come on, guys, catch your own Kai.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But they're cool. If you want to enjoy yourself, look out for them and just watch them hunting, because they are superb hunters.
So kind of on our coastal areas, also in some inland lakes. I know they're on the Waikatoawa and down Te Waipounamu in the braided rivers, and also around Canterbury as well. Then finally, Pete, a couple more things, but let's talk about their breeding. So they're kind of making nests on coastal foreshore, you said?
Yeah, just above the high tide. And they don't put a lot of effort into the nest.
And honestly, they're too busy diving into the water.
Yeah, that's true. So sometimes it's just they just make a little shallow scrape in the sand. Sometimes they chuck a bit of grass or twigs in there. But... And then they just nest there, and they have like 1 to 3 eggs, beautiful eggs.
Yeah, what speckled, color are they?
Speckled eggs that can be like light grey or olive brown.
Yeah.
And they're quite big eggs, so that you know they can be up to like 6.5 centimetres long.
Wow.
They're quite big.
Sizable.
And that's why they were taken for Kai.
Yeah.
Because they're easy to find on the foreshore, and they make a decent omelette.
Oh, amazing. And we... I just love to imagine Tupuna Māori back in the day. It's omelette time. Let's go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the eggs, they sort of hatch in about 21 to 28 days. And then, interesting, they can leave the nest after a couple of days, like for these little guided tours with their parents.
How do they do that? Do they like sit on the mum or something?
I think they just walk around.
Okay. I was like imagining
I don't know when they start flying, but it's pretty early.
Yeah.
And they get fed on regurgitated whole fish from the parents.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's quite big meals, eh?
Yeah, especially
for a little chick.
Well, wee bubba.
and then they fledge around 5 weeks.
So that's when they're leaving the nest. Yeah.
Yeah. But it takes a while for them to learn to fish, because it's a pretty technical thing.
Oh, it's such a crazy skill to have, and I imagine with like the very changing world that we have with climate change and overfishing, like now it's becoming even harder for these birds to find fish, let alone work on their technique.
Yeah, and their nesting sites change a lot.
Okay.
With floods, and you know, like at Port Waikato, there used to be a sand island in the mouth, and there were big numbers there, but that washed away, and so then they moved to the Waiuku Forest for a little while. But now there's quite a collection of them at Clark's Beach, so they move around, and that's what makes them a bit vulnerable because you know there's threats.
Absolutely, and like with a nest that's not really burrowed away, just a wee scratch on the surface,
yeah,
which is, you know,
easy to find.
Easy to find, yeah. So it's susceptible to pests and dogs and
four-wheel drive vehicles.
Bloody four-wheel drives. Yeah. We're coming for you, guys.
And then the thing is, when the nests are disturbed, even if you don't, even if you don't destroy the eggs or chicks, when they're away from the nest, the black-backed gulls and other seagulls and that can swoop in and predate on the eggs or the chicks. So we've got to give them some space. And
We do. And respect them because they're manu taonga and they're a very special bird.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pete. It's awesome always to learn about new birds with you. And I hope you've all learned something. I got a text in. Someone said mammals, M-A-M-I-L, is middle-aged men in lycra.
Right. I'm not one of those.
No, me neither.
I wouldn't look good in lycra.
I think you'd look awesome.
Shows too much. No, I don't. No, not me. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Peggy's good.
Okay, whatever. And so you've got a waiata, you've got a song to play for us, Pete. What's your song this week?
Yeah, I came across this. It's New Zealand group Betcha Dupa.
Yeah.
It's got
awesome.
Liam Finn and a few other guys in there, and they did a couple of albums. And this song is My Army of Birds and Gulls. And it's got a cool video, so check it out sometime.
Yeah, thanks, Pete, for coming. Appreciate it always.
Kia ora.
This is My Army of Birds and Gulls by Betcha Dupa.
At me, it's all a big conspiracy. They stop to sing when I try to sleep. It drives me mad. They're calling me under my rock. It never stops. I love them, though they're all I've got. My army of birds and gulls, pelicans and turtle doves.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.